I think that long term, like I'm talking on a scale of decades, but like Bitcoin has to switch to proof of stake in within like, you know, probably it's not going to happen for a while, but definitely within like, you know, 20 to 30 years, it has to switch to proof of stake.
Welcome to the Staking Insider Podcast, where we explore the frontiers of staking. Today, we welcome Sunny Agarwal from Osmosis, and we're going to talk about Bitcoin potentially becoming a proof of stake asset. We talk about Eigenlayer restaking and compare that to the case of having a Cosmos chain. And we're going to talk about the next step for Osmosis and the role that Osmosis will play being the layer two and smart contract layer for Bitcoin. I have a tweet open here on October 4, 2022. You posted Cosmos will save Bitcoin. And that's like, I think, yeah, 2 years ago now or something. And then I remember like last year at the Gateway conference, you also mentioned like, it's also the other way around, like Bitcoin will also save Cosmos. Elaborate on that. Yeah.
So, you know, I started working on Cosmos to build the app layer for Bitcoin. That was like, you know, I was before this, I was like, I was interning at Consensus for a little bit doing Ethereum stuff. And I was like, I was really interested with, this was like 2017. So like, this is like when like, you know, the first wave of Ethereum was really starting to take off. And I thought it was really cool, but I was like, what is this ETH shit coin? Like, I thought we're building for Bitcoin. And so I kind of just wanted to like work on, so I was like, Cosmos is like how we build the app layer for Bitcoin. Bitcoin, the asset is, Cosmos is all about app chains. Bitcoin is the original app chain, right? It's the money app chain. And my view was the BTC asset just needs to be able to flow off the Bitcoin chain and be the money of all of the app chains. And so that's kind of what drew me to Cosmos in the first place. And so
and took that a while was before to get there. Cosmos launched, right? In 2017.
This is like when I joined, I joined the team because I really liked this vision of like the app chains. And so, you know, got busy with building Cosmos and everything. And, you know, I feel like I've been a Bitcoin maxi for a long time, I guess, but like it just, the energy wasn't there in the Bitcoin community. And it was like, you know, but then Ordinals came along and the entire energy just shifted, right? Now there was like, okay, like it's time. Like there was a cultural shift that happened in Bitcoin. I call it this like Bitcoin Renaissance that's happening, where it's like, now there's more users, more degen activity, but like there's so much pent up excitement. And I think Cosmos is just extremely well positioned to be this application ecosystem for Bitcoin. So, you know, and, you know, to your question of like, how is Cosmos going to help here, right? Like, I mean, one of the projects that I'm an advisor for them, but basically like my idea was Babylon, which is like Bitcoin staking. So I was like, okay, ETH, one of the big, you know, I think that long term, like I'm talking on a scale of decades, but like Bitcoin has to switch to proof of stake in within like, you know, probably it's not going to happen for a while, but definitely within like, you know, 20 to 30 years, it has to switch to proof of stake. And so it's like, okay, let's introduce Bitcoiners to the concept.
But that's very interesting. Maybe we can also dive into that thought in a bit, but
yeah,
maybe finish first and yeah.
Yeah. And so, but so Babylon, it was like, okay, you know, a lot of these restaking things is a lot of it, like, you know, you can go use Eigenlayer from ETH or you can use like stuff from Cosmos, but like, it's like, you know, Bitcoin is the $1 trillion asset. It doesn't have that many competing sources of yield right now. So being able to use Bitcoin for restaking is a very obvious thing. So I got Babylon to sort of like pivot into building Bitcoin restaking. So that was like step one in Cosmos helping save Bitcoin. Step two is like, you know, you look at Thorchain. Thorchain is currently the biggest DEX for Bitcoin, right? And like Osmosis is going to start like focusing very heavily on like on Bitcoin as well. So it's like, you know, helping bootstrap the DeFi ecosystem for Bitcoin. And so, and in the other direction as well, Bitcoin to help Cosmos, because the thing is Cosmos doesn't have, so what are the three biggest ecosystems right now? It's like EVM, Solana, and Cosmos, right? EVM and Solana both have like top five market cap assets, right? Ethereum has a number two market cap, $500 billion. Solana is like, what, $100 billion? I don't know what it is, $100 billion or something. Cosmos doesn't have a capital asset. You need a capital asset in your ecosystem that your DeFi ecosystem can be built around, right? And, you know, yeah, we have Atom, that's like for, we have Tia, we have like, we have all of these smaller ones, but like no one capital asset. there's a $1 trillion asset there that's like waiting to be used in DeFi and Cosmos. And we don't have anything it's competing with, right? Like my hot take, you know, tinfoil hat theory is there wasn't a lot of development in good Bitcoin bridging because the Ethereum mafia, I don't know how else to put it, call it, just like not like doesn't want Bitcoin competing with ETH as money on Ethereum. And so there was never this like big attempt to bring in secure Bitcoin bridging to Ethereum. But in Cosmos, we don't have a capital asset that Bitcoin is competing with. So I think Cosmos will be more open to welcoming Bitcoin with open arms.
And how is that going to happen? It's like the Babylon, they're building this timestamping protocol, right? So is that going to play a role there? Or how do you see the bridging happening?
Yeah, so there's a couple of different bridging projects already in work. So basically, the three main ones that we have our eye on is there's one is Nomic. So Nomic has built a Bitcoin bridge based off of like Bitcoin script. It's a multi-sig Bitcoin script based one. There's TBTC. So TBTC is already pretty widely used, but they're launching a Cosmos chain very soon called Mezo. And then the third one is actually an in-house project that we sort of kind of incubated, I would say, like where Thorchain has one of the most used Bitcoin bridges in all of crypto, right? But they don't let it be used as a bridge. It's only used in their Thorchain thing, and they don't allow Bitcoin to be used anywhere else. What we do is we basically had a team fork the Thorchain code, edit it heavily. Basically, it's not even really the Thorchain code anymore. It's kind of just gone ship of Theseus at this point. But yeah, so this is a new bridge. We don't have a name for it. I've been calling it Bitfrost in my head. But yeah, so yeah, Bitfrost, Nomic, and TBTC. So all three of them are coming big in Cosmos. And so we are, the idea is that we're going to support, you know, all of them.
And by we going to support, you mean like Osmosis?
Osmosis, yeah.
Okay, cool. And that basically makes Osmosis, because you also mentioned the role that Osmosis plays in like the kind of Bitcoin ecosystem. So you see Osmosis more moving towards becoming a Bitcoin DEX as well?
Yeah, like I mean, the thing is like Osmosis is already the DEX for Cosmos, right? Like we're in that solid position. Our growth is, I think the number of Bitcoin L2s is growing, and people will want one place where they can come trade all of them and like access all of them, right? And that Osmosis, we're working with a lot of these Bitcoin L2s to like have like the liquidity launch happening on Osmosis, be the DEX for them.
Yeah, that makes sense. And maybe before we dive a little bit more into like the Bitcoin smart contract layer and the role that Cosmos plays there, you mentioned like Bitcoin moving to proof of stake in the next 20 to 30 years. Can you elaborate on that? Like, do you think that's like, that's just a matter of time, or like, yeah, why do you think so?
Yeah, I think it's a matter of time. It's as the block subsidy goes down. The problem with the block subsidy is the problem with proof of work is you need a pretty high block subsidy in order to incentivize the miners. I just don't think that like the proof of work is going to, I don't think the fees are going to be sufficient long term to like get the level of security you want in a proof of work system, because in a proof of work system, there's always going to be like reorgs that are possible. And so as the block subsidy goes down, the finality time is just going to have to keep increasing. Today, we say 6 blocks is okay, but really it's about like how long the bridging is going to take, right? It has, like the finality time has to do with like the blocks up, like the reward level per block. And so I think proof of stake just requires, because you get much faster, like guaranteed finality, and with the slashing capabilities, you'll be able to get much faster finality. So I think that like all in Bitcoin community, like there's always this talk of like, what's going to happen when the block subsidy goes away? Like, some people are like, oh, are we going to have to break the 21 million Bitcoin cap? And it's like, no, that's never going to happen, right? Like, we can't do that. So the solution is we're going to have to switch to proof of stake.
But do you think that's just going to be a gradual process? Because imagine something like Babylon Chain, right? They are already launched, like they're already making BTC a proof of stake asset today, basically. Yes. And then it doesn't even need any protocol, Bitcoin protocol changes or...
So what I mean is, I think that eventually, so like, you know, like I said, Babylon, the goal here is, you know, my secret goal for Babylon was to introduce the concept of staking to Bitcoin. Now it's, but eventually the Bitcoin chain has to, will also switch to proof of stake. Like, you know, the next thing is I want to, I think with Babylon and with like certain, with like Babylon and like, you can also start to do these things. The next step for me is, I think, start introducing some staking elements to the core Bitcoin protocol. The one thing that I would be really excited for is a zero-conf protection. So, you know, zero-conf, just for context for listeners, is like, you know, it, when you make a transaction and you can accept it before it gets included in any blocks. The problem with Bitcoin, with the 10-minute blocks, it's like, you know, it's really annoying to send a payment and then have to wait like 10 minutes to even see that it gets into a block. And the problem is that like, while it's on a block, if I sent you money, it's not in a block, you can accept that as a zero conf, but I can make a conflicting transaction with a slightly higher fee and it would like I can undo the payment to you. So if you sold me something, I can undo that payment, which is not good. With zero conf, what you can do is if you can get enough mining pools to stake Bitcoin, saying that they'll say that what they'll say is any block that we propose, we will include your transaction. And why that's important is that makes it so that I can like pay, you know, make a payment. I pay a small fee to the mining pool to give me the guarantee. And if the mining pool doesn't do that, they're going to get slashed, right? And I think this is just going to massively improve the UX of Bitcoin payments, because now you can do like these much faster payments.
Right. So it brings finality to Bitcoin, basically.
Yeah, it brings some level of economic finality, because if, let's say, like 70% of the hash power tells you that like, oh, it gives you a zero conf like payment, then that's like good, because now, you know, you're pretty guaranteed. Like, you know, it'll be very hard for me to like, you know, yes, I could get into that 30% block, but it's like, it's too risky for me, right, to try that. So it'll give you like pretty high economic guarantee that your transaction is going to make it in. And this is like, so it's very good from the UX perspective, but it's also like, you know, we can start to sneakily add elements of staking into core Bitcoin. Still, finality of Bitcoin is not based on proof of stake, right? The consensus protocol of Bitcoin is not, but like, okay, let's get the miners involved with staking. And then eventually, you know, like I said, it's not happening next year. It's not going to, probably not even in 10 years, but I do think in the long term, like Bitcoin will switch to proof of stake.
Yeah, it's definitely going to be a very big mindset shift that needs to happen
But you know, like, people, the mindset shift is happening, right? Bitcoin Renaissance is here, like, or Bitcoin Season 2, whatever terminology you want to use, right? But it's like the old guard is moving out. If you look at Bitcoin for the first time, does not have a core maintainer. You know, for the history of Bitcoin, there's always one person who is the core maintainer of Bitcoin. The most recent one, he stepped down actually last year. And right now there's no single lead maintainer. And so I think there's just this, like, the old guard is on their way out. There's a new guard of Bitcoin developers. Like, Jeremy Rubin is like really stepping up to like take on a lot of, I think, you know, if the most bullish thing for Bitcoin is if Jeremy Rubin was the lead maintainer of Bitcoin, that would be like the single most bullish thing in all. But like, yeah, the cultural shift is happening. All these like developers that are like, you know, so overly, like, you know, rigid, like it's, and like I said, we're talking 10, 20 years from now, like the mindsets are going to shift, and proof of stake is going to be even more Lindy at that point, right? It would have been running on Ethereum and Cosmos and Solana for 10 plus years. Bitcoin will eventually just like be more comfortable with it.
Yeah, I think it would be amazing if some of the Ethereum and Cosmos devs and everyone also starts working on Bitcoin. I think it has been quite separated for many years. Yeah.
Another thing that I'm trying to do to help this process is I'm in touch with the Dogecoin team, Dogecoin Foundation, they're very interested in switching to proof of stake. And so I'm helping them.
Didn't they even announce it? Like, I think a year ago or something, they even announced a shift to proof of stake, didn't they?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And so they're probably going to use Tendermint. And so I've been like helping walk them through it. And that will show an example of a Bitcoin-like chain switching to proof of stake.
I know Zcash also announced their switch to proof of stake, even a Tendermint chain, I believe. I don't know how far they are with it. I think it was like 1 or 2 years ago when they announced it.
Like, so that's, and you know, I think my whole thing is like the way you do this is, I actually think proof of work is really good as a distribution system. That's the coolest thing about proof of work. It's the, proof of work is the most fair ICO in like all of like ICO design, because anyone can participate in it. It's permissionless participation, and you buy into it using the universal currency, which is electricity, right? Everyone has access to electricity. You can't get blacklisted from accessing. You know, you can get, if I did an ICO in dollars, I could, you could be locked out of that, right? But it's like, okay, anyone can participate in it. But once the ICO period starts to end, right? Once the block subsidy starts to trend towards zero, there's no point of using proof of work as a distribution system. Like that, the ICO, the distribution period is over. It's time to switch to proof of stake.
Right. Yeah, I think one of the problems about it is just that there's extreme economies of scale, because the more kind of, like capital you have, the cheaper electricity you can get. You can buy like more hardware and everything. Cool. But so how do you see like the Cosmos ecosystem as part of the smart contract layer for Bitcoin? Like, is it going to be enabled through those bridges that you mentioned, like Nomic, TBTC, Bitfrost, and so on? Yeah, so
Bitcoin will be able to be bridged via like these bridges, and then be used within the Cosmos ecosystem pretty heavily, like used on, you know, Cosmos has like multiple smart contracting. You know, we have the EVM and we have CosmWasm. I made a tweet the other day. I was like, hey, we should rename CosmWasm to BitWasm. I think it's just better branding. My hot take, there's a lot of like Bitcoin L2s being built right now that are EVM. I, as you can tell, I have a lot of hot takes, but another hot take is I think that the EVM based Bitcoin L2s are like, I'm not very bullish on them, because to build a new ecosystem, you kind of want actually a unique stack. EVM, it literally stands for Ethereum Virtual Machine. You're always going to feel as part of the Ethereum first, right? It's like Solana and Cosmos both have missionaries, because we have unique developer stacks, right? Even after the Solana crash, basically post FTX collapse and everything, right? You had a legion of developers who had spent time building and learning the Solana VM. They stuck around and then had this amazing resurgence that Solana has seen. Same with Cosmos, right? Even after the Terra collapse, you had all of these developers who spent years building up a skill set in CosmWasm, and they stuck around in the Cosmos ecosystem. The problem with you kind of need developers to like have to chew glass for a little bit to like learn a new thing, but that's how you get missionaries, right? The problem with a lot of the EVM system is you just get a lot of copy pasta stuff that you get a bunch of Uniswap forks and all this kind of stuff. And it's just like, it's not, you don't get this like same missionary level thing. So that's why I think that the Bitcoin ecosystem is not going to be based on the EVM. And so I think that, I think CosmWasm is actually a good stack. It has the tooling, it has the docs, it has everything there. And to be a good stand-in, default thing. So that's why it's BitWasm.
Yeah, it makes sense. I mean, just positioning it as like the smart contract layer for Bitcoin. Yeah, because it would make a lot of sense for Cosmos and the whole ecosystem, I believe, to really bootstrap it. And it's like, cheating your way to the top, basically. Yeah, that's cool. And how do you see the future between if we talk about like these three ecosystems, like EVM, Solana and CosmWasm or BitWasm? Do you think they're going to live all in parallel over the next few years? And it feels like more and more it's going to like also converge and consolidate with like EVM on Cosmos and so on. Like, how do you see that evolving over the next years?
Yeah, I think there will continue to be. I think like I said, there's the tech stack is important, but it's also like it's a cultural. You're building like digital nations, right? Like you know, communities, right? Ethereum, it's a tech stack, but it's also a community. Solana is a community. I think Cosmos has a community. Bitcoin has a community. And I think what I'm proposing here is like try to like merge the Bitcoin and Cosmos communities, basically. And the tech stack is just like, you know, it's a component into it. So yes, there'll be like some merging of tech stacks, but you still like, I think the cultural nations are still going to be somewhat distinct, you know?
Okay, cool. So that like basically makes the case for like different ecosystems. Like it's not like a winner takes it all in that space.
Yeah.
And yeah,
it's always going to, you know, one world government doesn't work. One world chain, one doesn't work. It's always, you know, always going to have like some level of like communities, like a little bit of tribalism, which is can be healthy, right? Because it pushes everyone to like compete and like make everything better as a whole.
Let's talk a bit about restaking and Eigenlayer. Like 1 month ago, you had a discussion with Vitalik on Twitter about like what's the case for like spinning up an AVS versus what's the case for spinning up a Cosmos chain. I think it's like an AVS makes a lot of sense when you want to bootstrap your chain or your ecosystem, but at some point you want to launch your own token anyway, right? So why not just like make it also a stakeable asset and you can do that easily as a Cosmos chain? That's the thesis, right?
Yeah, basically, yeah. It's like eventually if you have your own token, you know, like secure ETH restakers aren't just going to restake for free. You have to give them something for them to restake on you and secure your chain. And it's like, what do you give them, right? Either you're giving away your revenues or you're giving away like your own token rewards. Either way, that's something, you know, you have your token holders and you're diluting your token holders or you're giving away your revenue. And it's like, my take is like, you start off with like the analogy I gave was when you're building a stake, you know, you're building the economic security of your chain, right? What you should be doing is figuring out, let me at least explain how Osmosis thinks about how economic security. We want to target a security level. So what I mean, so let's say we look at what is the value of the assets on our chain. Let's say we have $500 million bridged onto our chain. That means that we should try to target and we want a 1.5x security threshold. So that means we now need to target $750 million of staked capital on our chain, right? Securing our chain. Okay. Let's say Osmo, the staked amount is only $600 million. Okay. Now we have a security deficit of $150 million, right? So what you do is you start with, you know, you're building an army here. You start with your citizens, right? That's the first, your army should be built out of citizens. So you give as much rewards to your own native token, get them to stake as possible. But now if you're not able to get more native Osmo stake, then when you're building an army, who do you look to next is your allies, right? You say, okay, Osmosis with mesh security, which like, who are we, you know, Axlar, very closely allied project to Osmosis, right? Like we make up like, you know, over 50% of Axlar's TVL, while like, you know, Axlar is our primary bridge to Ethereum. Let's do restaking with Axlar. Let's let Axel tokens come in and help secure Osmosis as well. So, you know, we do that with Axel. We'll do that with Mars. We'll do that with Lavana, like, you know, our allies. Then let's say that gets us to like $700 million. We still have a $50 million deficit. Finally, when you run out, when you have a small gap left, that's when you bring in mercenaries, right? Bitcoin and ETH restakers are mercenaries. They're gonna get your token reward and they're gonna dump it and like compound on ETH, right? So you only bring them in at the end if you really need to. That's the thing. That's one way you can think about it. It's like, you know, your own native token holders, whatever rewards they get, they're gonna be compounding your token. Restakers, they're gonna be all the rewards that you give them are gonna be dumped into ETH.
Yeah. But it isn't like the economic security, you mentioned like you're targeting 1.5x from like the TVL on Osmosis as economic security. Isn't it defined as like not the economic security per se, but the part of that is stakeable? Or it depends
stashable,
on the...
You mean?
Stashable. It depends on the slashing parameters, right? Like how much of that can be slashed or...
Yeah, so exactly. So the 1.5x is a number I just came up with. That's not the number... I don't know we'd have to work with governance to figure out what number we want. I chose 1.5x because most slashing things require, like most things on Osmosis require 2/3. So I did 1.5x because that way 2/3 of 1.5x is equal to the TBL. So if a bridge stealing requires 2/3, so that would, you know, you want 2/3 of your economic stake to be slashable. You want that to be greater than the TBL.
Yeah. And yeah, I mean, thinking about that, that's very bearish on EigenLayer, isn't it?
Oh, I mean, I think being able to, I think there will be demand for the mercenaries. I just don't think that you start with that, right? Like, you know, mercenaries are a good business. Like, and being the allocator of that, like, mercenary capital is important, is valuable. I just don't think it's going to be like, everything is going to become an AVS, like all the Cosmos chains, like, okay, Osmosis is going to drop our validator set. You know, DYDX is not going to drop their validator set to become an AVS, right? Like,
yeah, that makes sense. So basically, like, as long as you have some economic security in your own ecosystem where like every chain will have their own token, probably, yeah, it should basically take that to the extent possible. That makes sense.
Yeah, I mean, you want to maximize revenue for your own token, right? And so you might as well have it be the staking token so you can do that.
Yeah. And you just talked about Osmosis. Like, is there also a case for super fluid restaking where like you can restake your LP pool positions? And
yes. Yeah. So the way that mesh security works, it's up to you to decide what you, I mean, we kind of already do that, right? Like, so we do it on Osmosis, but like we can say like, hey, other chains, like if people's LP positions are staked on Osmosis, we'll slap, do you want to count that as your security? We'll slash them if you tell us to, if they opt. Yeah. We had this term, we called it interfluid staking, was this idea of like using superfluid stake for mesh security use cases.
Awesome. And is that already possible today, basically? Or
no. So the mesh security is like close to the end of development at this point. It's running on like test nets. We're working on the front end for it right now. So it'll probably go live. Once that goes live, then we'll work on like interfluid will probably be like a follow-up to that.
Yeah, cool. And what else is like on the Osmosis roadmap? If you can give a perspective over the next few months, maybe what's kind of top of mind for Osmosis right now? What are the innovations that you're working on right now?
Yeah, I think like the three things that we're most very focused on right now is one, the Bitcoin stuff I talked about, right? Like I think that's a big one. Second is account abstraction. So we have this thing called smart accounts where we're like trying to make the onboarding onto Osmosis like much, much better, but and safer. You know, we're starting with this function called one-click trading, which basically means like every time you trade, you don't have to like sign with the wallet. This is a really big deal if you're using like a ledger. So we're doing that. There are other apps that do that today, like DYDX does it. Like I think, but the way they do it is actually very insecure because if your front end gets, if your site gets compromised, they could steal like all the funds basically. And so we're trying to do this in a much safer way basically. So that's the second focus right now. And then the third is a lot of like privacy efforts. So we're working on development of like private trading. Because like right now people are, there's a lot of traders who don't want to use DEXs because you're leaking your trading strategy, right? Like everyone can see this account made this trade, this trade, this trade. June Analytics is a bug, not a feature, right? The fact that I can just like see someone's entire trading strategy is like, is not okay. But like trade privacy is like table stakes for an exchange, in my opinion.
Yeah. How's that going to work? So you're basically just, is that related to the account abstraction or?
Kind of. It will be because the thing is today you have like, how it would work is we use a Zcash style, like a zero knowledge shielded pool basically, and assets get held into these private accounts. And then when you do a trade, it comes and does the trade and goes right back into the private account. So that way everyone will just see, hey, trades are being executed from this private account. They won't know who's doing what trade. And so you'll still see a stream of all the trades, which is what you want. You want that to be publicly visible. You just don't want the amounts. You don't want to be able to link who's doing which trade. But yes, this is going to have to relate to account abstraction because this is very easy to do with just like normal private keys. But the point of account abstraction is we're trying to make it so you can, you know, we're trying to break the linkage between an account and a private key. Like one account will have multiple private keys. So here's another example of something cool we're doing with account abstraction is Osmosis. We're working on a mobile app right now, but what we don't like is when you download our mobile app, we don't want you to have to like copy your private key into it. This is what I think is like very weird that like every time you download a new app, you have to copy a private key into this. Extremely insecure, right? So what we're doing instead is you already have using Osmosis on the desktop, right? What will happen is you can say add device. It'll show us a QR code. What you do is you scan it with your phone. What happens is your phone will generate a new private key on the device in the secure enclave. You scan it. And then what that will do is it'll transmit the public key from your phone to the computer. And then on the computer, you make the transaction, basically adding that public key to your account. So now your account has two different keys. And if I lose my phone, let's say, right, someone stole it, I don't have to like switch accounts. I can just make a transaction to delete that key from my account. So, you know, we have to move to this world where accounts have multiple keys. Now you can do proper device management and all this kind of stuff.
So you just sign a single transaction on your ledger, on your desktop, scan the QR code, and then you can freely trade from your mobile phone.
Yes.
That's pretty cool. Yeah, I'm looking forward to that. That's going to be great. Cool. Yeah, thanks, Sunny. This has been great. Really looking forward to the future, especially like the Bitcoin narrative for Cosmos. I think it makes a lot of sense. Looking forward to the role that Osmosis will play there as well. A lot of exciting stuff, and looking forward to see that evolve over the coming months.